Hello, and welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans. I'm David Bailey, and over the past nearly 12 years, this podcast has taken on many forms, from interviews and audio diaries to cultural snapshots and expat reflections. You might notice some different podcast names mentioned along the way, but it's all part of the same journey, one that explores life, people, and stories from this fascinating region I now call home. If you're enjoying the listen, I'd love it if you left a quick review or rating wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps others discover the show. And if something in the episode sparks your interest or curiosity, why not drop me a message? I always enjoy hearing from listeners. I always reply.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans, the podcast that takes you on a captivating journey into the heart of Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. Each episode, we delve into the rich history, vibrant culture, and hidden gems of this beautiful country. Through engaging conversations and personal anecdotes, we aim to bridge the gap between the Balkans and the rest of the world. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired, entertained, and connected.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
This is the Balkan Adventures Podcast, everyday life and experiences in the Western Balkans.
Hi, it's me, David. I'm an Englishman in the Balkans, and this is the Balkan Adventures Podcast. In this edition, I'm talking to a DJ from Banja Luka, a club DJ, a young man who 15 years ago had a dream, and today he lives his dream. Many young people in the Balkans say they haven't got a future, they can't travel, they can't reach their full potential, everything is stacked against them. Maybe in some cases that is true. But for Mladen Tomic from Banja Luka in northern Bosnia Herzegovina, he decided to take his dream and live it. So here's me in conversation with Mladen Tomic in his studio on the outskirts of Banja Luka.
It was, I think it was the big love and big passion to the music. I don't know, but when I was young, in my beginning of my high school, I spent a lot of time to listening to music, recording music, collecting on the tapes, collecting it from the recording and collecting from the radio stations. And it was dance music of 90s. And I really was in big love to that kind of music in that time. And when I started to go out, well, yeah, it was in my high school, when I started to go out and visit in the clubs and discotheques, I spent a lot of time watching the other DJs or guys who played the music. There was not a lot of turntables or professional equipment. In that time, there was tapes, and the guys played the music from the tapes, and my beginning also was play the music first from the tape and then from the CD. So I think it was really, really big love, and I don't know, something attracted me in that dance music, and gave me a lot of energy to focus on that, trying to get more and more music, to have it for the listen and everything. I think it's a good answer. I'm not sure.
back then, I mean, the country had just come out of war. It was in a bit of a chaotic state. Yeah. And the last thing on anybody's mind was, you know, electronic music. So it must have been quite a hard task to get the music that you wanted to play. I mean, there weren't too many DJs in the area creating that sort of music.
Well, definitely we were pioneers in this kind of music in our city, I think, first in our city and then in the whole country. But I don't know, it was huge passion, and we started. I remember when we started to buy the records, we didn't have a lot of money, blah blah blah, but we found a way to make money, to organize a party, to present that kind of music the people in that time. It was late 90s, beginning of 2000s, and somehow we started to make money and started to buy equipment, turntables, mixers and records. At the end, it was very hard to buy records in this time, live in Banja Luka or Bosnia and buy the records. It was nightmare. I can say that, because we used to travel and drive to Zagreb or Novi Sad or Belgrade to buy two records. I remember that time when Siniša, my friend, and me, we got a call from the guy from the shop in Novi Sad, and he told us, guys, two records you ordered arrived. We immediately go to the car or bus, or I can't remember, go to the Novi Sad, because we had a party that night. We played in Sokolski just to have that two records to play. And yeah, we didn't have a lot of people involved in electronic music, but we had a couple of hundred people, 300, 400, 500, who started to follow us and our music and everything. So I think it was a good start, but it was not easy.
I remember seeing you many, many years ago at club nights when I was a lot younger than I am now.
Me too.
And thinking back then, I couldn't really understand how a musical culture that I'd arrived here in Bosnia and Herzegovina to realize it was what I think they called it, turbo folk at the time, and going to clubs where there was this very westernized, very disciplined, creative mixing of music by DJs that were spending so much effort and so much concentration. And I remember thinking, how can this ever take off? You used to stand there, as you say, and watch these DJs. Did you ever think that it would take off in the region?
Well, I'm not sure. Did I clearly understood you? Did I think
that this music would actually take root and start to grow in the region?
Yeah. Well, yeah, definitely. I believe in that. I did believe in that, because, as you said, except of me and my friend Siniša, there were in that time a couple of other guys in Banja Luka who also did a good job, brought some DJs here to play, to show the people what is this, and some DJ skills and new music, and all of us, I think we did believe in that music and everything. So now, after 15 or more years after that, I think I can say that I was right. I was on good direction.
15 years later.
Yeah, 15 years later.
You are now playing in countries such as Canada, Mexico. You're flying around the world, having what some people would say an absolute jet set lifestyle. how hard has it been for you this last 15 years to get where you are today, with your music being played on BBC Radio 1 across the whole of the United Kingdom, across Europe? Has it been an easy journey for you?
Well, yes, as you said, I play now over the Europe, America, North America, Central, South America, I never visited Asia yet, but I have some options for India, for Japan, so we'll see. And I'm very happy because of that. But that it was definitely not easy. When I go back, we started now to speak about beginning. Yes, it was not easy. It was in the beginning. It was only focused to the promotion of this kind of music here in Banja Luka. This was my beginning, and it was not easy, definitely, because we had to organize party, pay everything, pay DJs, international DJs to come here, and it was very stressly, and we had to work a lot on it. And then when we got some recognizing from the people, and we got the support from the people who listen electronic music, we started to get some requests from other cities, first in Bosnia, and then some other requests from neighbor countries, Serbia, Croatia, Slovenia, blah blah. It was also very hard to go there in the beginning, because I need a visa, and if I want to go to play in Slovenia, it was a very, very heavy and very painful process to get a visa to travel there. And some promoters from Slovenia in the beginning, or some other countries where I need a visa to travel, was gave up sometimes. When I say the promoters that I need a visa and he need to send me some guarantee letter, invitation letter, blah blah blah, a lot of papers, and they just gave up. So in the beginning, that was a big problem, because I couldn't travel normally, as all normal people can travel in Europe, in the world. So that was one of the big problems. And then after that, I don't know, somehow I solved it. Always spent a lot of time work on that, and I think it was a very, very important thing in this way to success, that energy and passion, and energy and passion and love for the music. And then after that first steps, I started to produce, because I realized that the only thing to get more international recognition, recognition, something like this, it's to produce my own music. And I started to produce my own music, started to buy some equipment, blah blah blah. And 2009, it was my first big track released on Definitive Recordings, label of legendary John Aquaviva. I started to release 2006, but my first tracks was not so successful. It was okay, released on vinyls and everything. It was a huge success. But my first big hit, I can say, big hit, was in 2009. When a lot of big names played that track, Before Sunset was the name, is the name. And then I started to get some serious requests from for the bigger festivals, bigger clubs all around the world. But it sounds like very, I don't know, very simple, but wasn't very simple. I spent hours and hours in the studio working on the music, on my sound and everything, and then sent demos to the other guys, to big labels, who sometimes never listen to that demo because they are receiving hundreds daily. But now I'm here where I am, I'm very happy, and I'm not sorry because of everything that I've done last 15 years.
We're sat in your studio on the outskirts of Banja Luka. It's small, it's compact, and you can see it's an environment where you can get very creative. In the creative process, there's always time when you pause and you reflect. Do you ever think sometimes when you're sat in this room making this music that you now know is going to be accepted? Do you ever think about, wow, I'm just a boy from Banja Luka and look what I've achieved?
Well, I'm not sure that I think on that way. Actually, I live my dream. I'm living my dream, I can say that, because I live from this job. I do only that. I'm focusing only on the music and producing music, on my sets, on my gigs all around. And for me, it's a huge success that I can live of this work. But I think I'm the very normal guy from Banja Luka. I have friends here. I live here, and I'm on the ground. I can say so. I don't know what other people say, but I think I'm very just a regular normal guy.
We were having coffee before we started this interview,
yeah.
And you said no matter where you are in the world and you've seen other cultures and you've seen the way other people live, you still really like coming home.
Yeah, that's the, of course, because I have family, I have a wife, I have a kid, I have a lot of friends here, my very close friends and family, and it's always nice to be back because of those people for me. So the other thing is that always pretty negative political and economic situation in the city and in the country or in the whole region, I can say. It's always I always have some feeling somewhere in the head why it has to be like this, why it's not like in the other normal countries in the Europe or in the world where I travel and where I also meet a lot of people, present my music, present me, and where I can learn a lot. I think I learned a lot from all this traveling abroad.
I meet so many young people in the country, but particularly in Banja Luka, and I say, go for your dream, and they say to me, David, don't be silly, it's impossible to get my dream. But Mladen, you said when we started this that you live your dream. So how is it that you can live your dream when so many people say, I can't live my dream?
Well, it's beautiful feeling. It's amazing because I can work what I like. I can be focused on that what I like and what I did last more than 15 years. So this is very important to have an opportunity to live on this way. So work what you live, make money from what you like and from what you enjoy. This is very, very important. So, but as I said, it was not easy. Sometimes it's not easy now. I have a lot of problems, a lot of situations where I have to be very strong, think strong, making decisions. I don't know, but it's just part of the game. Also traveling, it's not always easy. Especially from Banja Luka, where we have small airport with very pure connection to Belgrade, and not every day. So I have always to travel to neighbor countries to travel, for example, blah blah blah. But I still enjoy, and I think I will enjoy in the future, definitely.
The future, great word.
Yeah.
What is the future for Mladen Tomic?
Well, the future for me is when we talk about work. It's to continue work, this job, which I really like and really enjoy in it. To continue to work it, I don't know, until I'm old and I cannot do it anymore. For example, next 15 years, for example, why not? And yeah. To be involved in music, somehow, like a DJ or producer or something like this, to visit more countries in the world to play and to play on the biggest festivals in the world and the biggest clubs where I still didn't play, something like this, and I don't know, make more music, release on bigger labels, and I really have that long-term plan that we talked about. So it's very important, I think, for every business, for every job.
And finally, when you play, whether it's here in Banja Luka or elsewhere, in Bosnia Herzegovina, Croatia, Serbia, Montenegro, in those crowds, there might be one or two young people looking at you, wanting to be you in the future. I asked you earlier, before we started the interview, what it's been like meeting any of your heroes when you were that young person in the crowd. What did it feel like the first time you actually got close to your heroes?
Well, first I will say that I don't feel like some superstar. Well, I don't know what other people think, but I really feel like normal and guy who will always talk with everybody and try to help everybody when I can, of course. And my heroes. I really don't have really some kind of idols or heroes. I have people, DJs or producers, big names, who I respect more than others. Let's say, like this. For example, Richie Houghton or Dubfire, or I don't know. I had a chance to meet Dubfire personally a couple of times, because we are in contact on Skype regularly, on I don't know, weekly basis or something like this. I always send him my music. For the first time we met in Miami 2 or 3 years ago, I'm not sure, when I played on his Cytec showcase in Miami Winter Music Conference. And we had dinner together, spent 2-3 hours together. We talked about everything, blah, blah, blah. It was a very nice experience to meet that big star. He's a star, we can say that he's a star, big star, world star. And also we met on the Exit Festival 2 years ago, also spent some time dinner. And yes, also I met Richie Houghton, but it was just for the short, but it was also very nice. So I met a lot of other big names, big guys. I met Carl Cox, I don't know, Popov. It's well, it's pretty hard. Yeah, I played and met Sven Vett also, but I just focused on that couple of names which are in my music style and some of my favorites.
What is the biggest festival that you really would like to play at? If I was to say, hey, here's the money, here's the plane ticket, here's the invite to go anywhere, where would it be?
Well, let's say Time Warp. Time Warp is for me very, very big, very nice, with amazing lineup every year in Germany or other countries. But let's say Time Warp or some festivals in Argentina, in Brazil. But okay, yeah, there are a lot of festivals where I would like to play, but let's say Time Warp.
Mladen, thank you so much for giving me the time today. I know you're very, very, very busy. Thanks a lot, and just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you for your time, for inviting me to speak with you. I really respect that, and yeah, see you next time.
To find out more about us and where we live, why not check out our blog at anenglishmaninthebalkans.com. See you next time.
And that's a wrap for this podcast. We hope you've enjoyed finding out a little more about both Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. If you've enjoyed this journey as much as we enjoy bringing it to you, please take a moment to leave us a review and subscribe to our podcast. Your feedback helps us tremendously and makes a huge difference. Thank you once again for joining us, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans. So that's it for this one. Thanks for keeping me company. If you enjoyed the episode, maybe share it with a friend who might like it too. And if you've got thoughts, questions, or just want to say hello, you can always reach out. Also, if you'd like to support the podcast and help me keep telling these stories, you can drop a little tip via Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the show notes. Even a euro or two makes a big difference. So that's it then. Take care, and I'll catch you in the next episode.